This segment of the show is brought to you by Gutter Helmet of Northern Arizona. More info at gutterhelmetnaz.com. The Jeff Orbit Show starts now.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome everyone. Thanks for listening. Jeff Orbit's here. Happy to be here with you today again from Camp Verde. Bruce Sidlinger's here with us. Bruce, you made it to our little getaway here and our little hideaway in Camp Verde.
But boy, am I stressed out.
Is he going to make it home?
And it wasn't because I'm not stressed out from flying my plane and doing ILS approaches late last night. You know, in pitch darkness with one engine. I was stressed out because we're in the Camp Verde studio, and this is the first time I attempted that with an electric car, and this is at the very limit of what humans can aspire to, is to drive an electric car to Camp Verde and back up the hill, because there's a hill involved and there's no charging infrastructure in Camp Verde. And even though I've got the extended range Tesla battery pack, that this is just not something you do with an electric car.
Well, surely they're going to get this by 2030 or 35 or whenever they're going to make us all do electric cars. And
I assume you'll have chargers all over Camp Verde.
I offered Bruce, and we got a lot to get to. We're going to get to the sub issue, the Titan sub issue here in just a second. Yes. And much more.
Tell them about your pitiable offer.
I was like trying to remember.
Your pitiable token, meaningless like, token offer.
Okay, Bruce is like a little concerned if he's going to get back to Flagstaff, and I'm like, well, shouldn't this thing make it? I thought you go to Phoenix all the time with your Tesla. And
well, because I can charge in Sedona if I need to. I can charge.
Yeah, but that's not.
I can charge off at I can charge at Cortis Lakes. I can charge at New River.
Okay, but yeah. Sedona doesn't make sense. That's off of I-17. That's
you do what you have to do. Like going up the hill today. If I estimate I can't make it, I'll have to go into Sedona, charge, and come back to I-17.
It doesn't make any. How's that environmentally friendly? I don't get that. I mean, there's a gas station right here. There's a couple right in Camp Verde. That would make sense.
This is environmentally friendly as Al's jet.
Yeah. So I offered, I'm like, I want you to get home, Bruce. You know, I don't want you to have to worry about this. So I was like, let me run out an extension cord, you know, just from the regular outside outlet there, the GFI outlet. And he's like, yeah, that's how much? A mile an hour?
Yeah, about a mile. Yeah.
He said that.
Because I said, well, it's going to take a while. And Jeff said, well, you're going to be here for like an hour, right? And I said, well, that's a mile.
Really? That's all.
Actually, going uphill, it's even less than a mile. It all depends on uphill versus downhill. Yeah.
Okay, so you got to get to the high-powered, juicing it up charging station that zaps it in 20 minutes
there
or something.
There needs to be a big charging infrastructure in Camp Verde.
Yeah, well, across the country, I'd imagine. So how are rural folks going to get by with this electrification of the world when you're having trouble doing a simple one-hour, one-way trip? Because if you want to just, I talked about this yesterday. We were talking about the weed whacker. And I said, okay, I woke up and said, I'm going to weed whack the yard and it's going to be an hour or two. I just put in the gas and I go. I didn't have to think about charging anything. And that little eighth of a gallon tank or whatever it is, probably not even that much, will last me a good hour. And it's easy
the
and convenient.
The energy density of gasoline is astronomical.
This is insanity.
But I'll tell you one
thing. And you're a fan of, you have two Teslas.
I have two Teslas. I'm all in on that. But let me tell you what I discovered. I got the Teslas in 2016 and 2017. And my assumption was that they would be part of my transportation mix since I have three dozen vehicles. But they came with free supercharging for life. And that's very addictive. There's actually one of my favorite behavioral economists talks about the power of free. And basically, if you got free as a choice, you don't take any other choice. Well, I finally needed to go to that manufacturing show, and I needed to take one of my trucks. I ended up taking the Airstream.
Which is diesel.
And that's basically the first time I've driven behind internal combustion engines since 2016 when I got the first Tesla. And I went the Tesla only shows you routes with superchargers, and that became my view of America. Well, when I typed in the...
Bruce is like, hey, he's like, yes. He's up here, there's A to C to right. X, back to Z, and he's like...
I mean, the coverage is
pretty
good on interstates.
It took him 8,500 miles to get to, like, Chicago.
Right. Well, anyway, so what was interesting is I got in the Airstream and I punched into the nav to go to Chicago, and it takes me through Moab. You cannot do that in an electric car. And what was really interesting was I've been blogging for years. I've been saying, you know, when I first got the Teslas, they were rare, but now they're everywhere.
Yeah, I see them everywhere.
That whole trip to Chicago, I didn't see another Tesla because I was doing non-Tesla roads. Okay. You know, I did like, there isn't a Tesla route to Moab. There isn't a Tesla route. So I went to Moab and then went around the south side of that river and it was amazing. And so if you grow up, it's kind of like, I'll tell you later about these books I'm reading, but it's kind of like people cannot imagine how much they're going to miss out when they either don't have a car or they only have a car that can go short distances between charging infrastructures. There's a whole bunch of the world. Especially me, since I'm old, I had a very, very full life compared to what kids will have nowadays.
Well, and I think the electric car is going to have its place. I think it's going to be more of an urban setting though.
And but that's where you're supposed to stay. You're supposed to be in a 15-minute city.
Yes. So what the heck? You can charge it into the 110 right. outlet and have it trickle charge for a couple hours while you eat a.
So a lot of these
while you eat a burger, it wouldn't be a beef burger, it'd be a veggie or a bug right. burger. But
so in Flagstaff the other day, Owen kind of pays attention and he counts up the Teslas. He sees Tesla number 5, you know, or
it's
whatever.
It's like in the 80s really with the VW bugs. Yes.
Yeah, he's got
slug bug.
Anyway, we were in like on Milton or something the other day, and there was a Tesla from Washington State. And I was thinking, we were talking about it in the car. I'm thinking, gee, I wonder how long it took them to drive here in the Tesla.
It takes twice the time. When I plan a trip and I go electric, it's double.
Wow.
Because of the routing, but also just because you spend a lot of time at the chargers.
Right.
But the reason you see a ton in Flagstaff is because it's like Mecca where everybody makes a pilgrimage. Mm-hmm. Everybody in a Tesla makes a pilgrimage to the that Marriott.
To the charging station?
Because there's a supercharger hidden up that hill on that Marriott.
Well, it just occurred to me when we saw the out-of-plate,
yes,
out-of-state plate on the Tesla, I started thinking, well, you know, I really don't see a lot of Teslas from out-of-state because people don't do long trips with them. Yeah. So
I do, but unusual. That's because I'm willing to spend... That's what
you got to take the time.
I loved it. I don't fly airlines, and so I've gone 6 years going everywhere, including all my long distance trips in a Tesla. But I allow 2 weeks to get to Florida. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You get a big diesel pickup, and you get a trailer, and you put your Tesla in the back of there. You wind up in the big, you know, in the leftist city, and you can drive around.
How long does
the
it take you to blast in a truck in a normal vehicle to Florida if you just want to get to Florida?
If you just want to get there, probably 3 days.
3 days.
Yeah, three long days.
I've never done it less than 2 weeks.
I mean,
three long days. Probably 5 or 6.
We take 5 or 6 because we'd be stopped.
Double that.
We did that route.
So you're going
and
at the
and we would stop at Graceland
like and New Orleans and like San Antonio. You know, we stop and do whatever.
Yeah, we do things. It's so like vacation. We see the big yarn.
There's the semi driver time of 2 or 3 days. There's the normal person time of a week where you have a good time, and then you double that. For electric.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I got more on this, and we want to get to the Titan sub update as well. But before I do that, I do want to mention our great sponsor here. First sponsor today, Mammoth Restoration. If you've got a flood and you need to get that commercial drying or the residential drying, you got to get it done quick. And you need a company that, first of all, is based in northern Arizona. But they're not a small company. They're a big company, pricing their trucks out there, handling all kinds of situations you don't want to find yourself in. Smoke, damage, fire damage, soot cleanup, roof taping, anything. You got a mammoth sized disaster. They've got a mammoth sized solution. Call Mammoth Restoration. Maybe you don't need them right now, but I'd write down this number and save it. Mammoth Restoration at 877-714-0050. That's Mammoth Restoration at 877-714-0050. I think people will be in for a rude awakening, though, when the electric hits and they want to take the old summer vacation. Maybe that's the goal, is, hey, you shouldn't be going out of your zone, out of your 15-minute city or whatever.
For years and years and years, I've been posting about electric cars because everybody comes to me for advice. I had the first electric car website, and I'd say, if you're into it, it's great. Yeah. If you're forced into it, you're going to hate it so much. You will be so unhappy if you're forced into it.
Like, I actually, you know, we go a lot from Flagstaff to Camp Verde. And if I had my truck, if I had my Nissan Titan, which is a whole nother story we'll have to get to here, I'm still waiting. Supply chain back order stuff now at this point. It's been weeks and it's been a month.
I thought it was the Chinese space balloon that delayed the truck.
It could very well be. But it, to me, that almost makes sense if you're commuting a lot like that. And I know people that live in the Verde Valley that go to Flagstaff to work, and or Prescott to work. And they, that may make sense because you come down and you save a bunch of money, but except for the cost of these things. They're much higher costs than gas engines and all that as far as the initial purchase price. But then you plug it in, you forget about it until you're commuting back a day or two or a week later. And that kind of makes sense, but not if you're zipping for long range trips. It just doesn't make sense.
I mean, it would be perfect to commute from Camp Verde if you had an RV outlet at the house, because an RV outlet will charge it at 16 miles per hour, and 16 miles per hour is plenty.
So a 220 overnight. A 220 outlet.
Yes.
Okay.
50 amp, two legs of 50 amp.
Yeah, and those aren't too much to put in. I mean, you're going to spend
You don't have to put in a real electric car charge. You can just put in an RV outlet.
Okay. Well, that would make sense. Okay. Let's talk about
the sad thing.
What's the latest update, Angela? The Titan sub. They found the
debris field or whatever they're calling it.
Okay.
And
close to.
Yeah, like close 500 to the meters away.
Yes. Oh, okay. You're so fancy. System International. How many 1,600 feet. 1,600 feet off the bow. For Americans, that means 1,600 feet if you're from America.
Oh, who do I have in the studio here today? You two with your meters and your, what's next?
It's, meters is you just times three in your head, then I know.
Okay.
It's easy.
Okay, so, and how many, what do they cut? Leagues under the sea? How many leagues under the sea was this? No, it's a shame.
I've been hearing journalists say unfathomable, and they don't realize the pun they're making. Anyway.
Well, it appears that it imploded.
Yeah, we know definitively because I listened to the Coast Guard briefing right before this, and they found both ends of the hull. They found the pressure vessel. Originally, they just found a part of the superstructure that could have broken off, and as a matter of fact, in the past had broken off of this particular design. So that wasn't dispositive, but as soon as they found the pressure vessel, it was dispositive.
Why did it take so long? Wouldn't there be, like in planes, you've got a transponder, you've got... is there a black box in the larger planes, right? Wasn't there some kind of beacon, some kind of homing beacon so they know where this thing is, or was it too far under the sea?
It's a challenge because, for example, I don't know if Owen ever had like a radio controlled submarine, but they're very disappointing because at about 6 inches below the surface and they
can't get the signal.
Right. So you can't do conventional communications. Some of these underwater submarines have tethers. You can also do very low frequency communication. You can do, and really, I'm speculating. You have to ask Rob. Next time Rob's on, ask him.
Yeah, I should have called him this week. He's going to be on next week. Rob Wilson was retired Navy submarines, 20 years, I believe. And he said the longest he was under sea was like 80 days last time he was on the show.
Something 70 or 80.
So.
Something days.
Imagine that.
That's the bravest gig of all.
It is, because there's huge risks. I mean, you talk about going into outer space, where you talk about going undersea 2+ miles. So something happened that lost, I don't know, got a crack or something, and implodes.
Right. And just to tell you the how relatively difficult the ocean is, undersea exploration, you know how hard it is to have a space, like all these spacecraft movies that show a meteorite hitting a spacecraft and causing a depressurization. They are routinely maneuvering the ISS out of the way of orbital debris. Mm-hmm. Those only run at 5 PSI. Right now we're at 14.7 PSI. If we were down at the sea level, we'd be at 14.7 PSI. But they depressurize spacecraft to 5 PSI to make it easier to build them. So, but even 5 PSI is a big challenge. And also airliners, that pressure hole that everybody's worried about with airliners, the explosive decompression, that's only a 5 PSI differential. They when you're flying an airliner, you're not at sea level in the cabin. You're at about 12,000 feet in the cabin because they want to keep the differential down. So 5 PSI is a big deal for an airliner or a spacecraft. Well, at the Titanic, that submarine, 6,000 PSI.
So 6,000 pounds per square inch of pressure on the hull when you're down two plus miles.
Right. So the good news is, I think I mention on Facebook all the time, and I think I mentioned it in the radio show, that I say, don't mourn me if you find me smashed like a bug on the side of a mountain when I'm flying my motor glider at night, because I do a lot of night flying, just like last night. Mm-hmm. If I made a navigational error, because I'd say that would be instant death with no foreknowledge, no pain, and it would be doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, I was hoping that the sub was just was just snagged because then an ROV could have released it. Mm-hmm. But the next best hope was an implosion. Because an implosion happens faster than your nervous system happens.
Yeah, they didn't know.
They wouldn't
they'd
even know.
They had no idea. It just ceases to exist. I don't know any of this stuff, but I imagine it's not like there's some water starts seeping in and you put your finger mm-hmm. in it or something. It would have been instantaneous because of the pressure. Well, right? They probably, and we're just speculating, didn't have a slow leak, right? Bruce?
There's no such thing as a slow leak.
Yeah, it just boom because of the pressure.
And incidentally, if you see an industrial water jet that cuts through huge thick plates of steel, this would be as much cutting force as that. So the tiniest pinhole is catastrophic.
And I was talking about this yesterday and really all week on this issue is I was hoping that they were, like you said, maybe stuck, maybe at the surface and they just hadn't been able to find them. But the worst scenario that I could imagine that would happen would have been sitting there.
There was a
running out of oxygen.
Yeah, that would be
cold,
awful.
Moisture, running out of food, water, because they were supposed to be down there for a couple hours or whatever. And you don't want something bad to happen, but if it was going to happen, fortunately for them, it was the quickest situation.
Yeah. Implosion would be the better way to go.
It is an unfortunate situation, but like you said, Bruce, this is not...
Right. I want to say one last technical thing, and then I want to move on to the philosophy. Yeah. One last technical thing I want to say is, I think I mentioned that I used to be an experimental test pilot as a career, but I don't fly experimental airplanes now because I believe in taking risks as necessary to have a full life. But if I can mitigate risk by spending more money, I'd rather mitigate risk by spending more money. So there are safer ways to build a sub. This sub was not approved by the American Bureau of Shipping or really by any other government agency. Mm-hmm. And as an example, one of the rules in the American Bureau of Shipping rules for subs is that they have to have the ability to get out from the inside.
And they couldn't. This thing is bolted in.
This sub has, I think, 17 bolts that have to be done from the outside. So the worst would be, what if they really had bobbed to the surface and not been found, and were found 2 weeks later bobbing on the surface, fine, except no oxygen.
They couldn't get out.
That would have been the...
And this goes back to the beginning of the space program in the 60s when they couldn't get out and they had to fire. Right. Apollo...
Right.
Space is hard, and
6,000 PSI is hard. But when we come back, I want to talk about...
Yeah, we've got more on this because we're going to talk about the unfortunate politicization of this. I'm glad I'm not on social media anymore.
It's been awful.
Jokes.
Yeah, it's been awful.
I mean, this is stuff that I wasn't even aware was going on because, like I said, I am not on social media. We'll get to all of that here in just a second. I do want to remind you that Zero Res of Northern Arizona has a couple of great specials going on right now. Three rooms of carpets, $138. They also do your tile cleaning. They can take care of that. Fabric cleaning on your vehicles, on your couches. Great special right now. If you want to save 20% off, please use my promo code here, LazyJune. That's all one word, capitalized, LazyJune, when you go to ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. That's ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. They do a great job. They also do house cleaning, by the way. So check them out and use the promo code LazyJune. All one word, capital Lazy June at ZeroResNorthernArizona.com. Hang tight. Don't go anywhere. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Welcome back from Camp Verde today, and really all this week except for Monday. I guess we're in Flagstaff, aren't we?
Yeah, Monday.
I can't remember. It's getting hot.
Yeah,
it's okay. You're swimming,
right? Yeah.
Corn's getting tall.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take Bruce out to the corn. We ate our first zucchini last night.
Yeah.
I meant to do that for lunch, some fried zucchini, but
I forgot about that.
We're going to have a lot of it, I think.
Yeah, we've had some peas from the garden, some radishes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of lettuce.
Yeah. Corn is 4.5 feet or so. You can see the little tassels starting to get ready to come out, which is how they get the corn to grow at some point.
Hit pollinate or something.
Pollinate, yeah. So not sure how it all works. It just hopefully works. Right? Bruce Sidling is here with us. Took the old Tesla down from Flagstaff, hoping to be able to return. He's going to be, might be yubba-dubba doing it with the old, remember the old Flintstones with the...
Yep.
That's the power we're going to. Well, with the 15-minute cities, you can do that. They'll just put a hole in the old gas cars. And you just, you know, if you got, you got a family of four, you got four
just a little bike.
You just paddle away and you'll get there. It might take a little bit, but you'll get there. Don't worry. But challenges with these electric cars. I got a lot of stuff to get to. We're going to continue on in just a second with the Titan sub and talk about the social media aspect of this, the politics. Everything is politics now. And it's really sickening quite frankly to see it and really just tiresome. Just it starts to rip your soul apart when everybody politicizes every single thing. Angela's going to have an update here on a Supreme Court case that's affecting the Navajo Nation. Bruce has something on the Atlanta Water Boys.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that. This is a kind of a group that's just selling water out in the streets that's, I guess, illegal, but then they're kind of swarming to people coming by. Buy our water, buy our water. It's an interesting story, so we'll get to that. So hang tight. If you got comments, love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. That's talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Don't forget to maybe think about picking up a little bit of physical gold and silver. I like to use this as an insurance policy for insanity, and we're smack dab in the middle of insanity. Desert Gold Exchange is an Arizona-based company. They have some of the lowest commissions and fees out there, which means they have some of the lowest prices on gold and silver. Gold and silver is spot price, so that's it costs the same around the world. It's those fees and commissions that can really add up. Call Justin and his family-run company, Desert Gold Exchange. I put them to the test. I think you'll find their pricing to be some of the best out there. 888-852-4343. Mention the Jeff Horvitz Show, and you can get a free investor's kit. Plus, I'd just like you to mention it so they know that you heard about it right here on the show. Call Desert Gold Exchange at 888-852-4343. That's 888-852-4343. Come back. We'll talk about the politicization and the social media insanity around this Titan and Titanic incident. Hang tight. Back in just a minute.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Bruce Sidling is here with me. Angela's here as well. So, Bruce, you're still on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook, and it's ruined the last couple of days of my life.
Hasn't it ruined a couple of years?
It also ruined one of my favorite movies for me. I'll explain that in a second. But basically, basically, there are these that started out just being inexplicably mean-spirited. I would actually go so far as to say sociopathic comments. Everybody was in a headlong rush to make jokes about the submarine tragedy, even 2 days ago.
When potentially these people were maybe sitting at the bottom of the ocean.
Right. And remember, somebody's kid is here, too, a 19-year-old. I mean, so I was shocked, and I went on Facebook, and I said, hey, before I just unfriend half of you, I said, I just want to say that this is so wrong. I said, I'm normally not an internet scold, but stop it, you know.
I can't believe I'm shocked that you were shocked. Honestly,
I was shocked by this because I didn't think people would go this low. And to give you an example, I hate to repeat them, except I'll try to make it not in any way funny. One of the movies I like is the Pitch Perfect. Remember that? Well, it's a movie. It's a singing movie called Pitch Perfect. Anyway,
you know Angela, you might like that.
Yeah. You know that song, The Final Countdown? Well, that was the primary song of the movie.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds just like instantly, like 2 days ago, one of the very first memes to hit my Facebook like four different times was this picture of the submarine with people in it playing that music with how many hours of oxygen they had left and
awful.
Doing. Right. Anyway, so that was
how these people exist.
And you would think that any adult would know. I'm gonna regret this so horribly. And like, plus, what if I go to heaven and St. Peter asks me about this post?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Oh, let's talk about this post. Yeah, I don't think they do regret it.
I hope they do. I hope that is in heaven, that they at least, but maybe still let you in after a while.
Your social media
post. Yeah, just run through, through the depravity of your social media. Yep. Well, anyway, then the next thing, and there's 100 of these. I'll just give one more example. Then it turned into class warfare.
Of course.
That was the next thing. And so then they said, this isn't as bad as the joke, but they started posting dual photos of migrants coming, like, from places where there's 200 people on a ship, you know, like from Haiti.
Yeah,
like, and the one from Greece recently.
In Greece, that's
not
the one they
from
did.
From Greece, but yeah.
Into Greece. Yeah, okay. Aegean Sea or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So they posted that, and then they posted, like, Thurston Howell in the sub. It's like, why are we worried about Thurston Howell, right? Why aren't we hearing more about the Greek? But, of course, we had heard a lot about the Greek.
I read a lot about that. Right.
Mm-hmm. That was the second stage. Then the final stage, that was the politicization stage and the class warfare stage. Then finally, the political stage, the one I saw right before we went on air, was a picture of the sub, but with the nose cone, the observation window, replaced by George Floyd's head. Man. And then the sub saying, "I can't breathe." Wow. So I'm just saying, you're thinking, I don't really unfriend people on Facebook, but I may have to do a little bit of a purge after this.
I think you have to. I did a complete purge. You know, I haven't been on social media in, are we going on 3 years now?
And here's what they say. Also, you know, the other thing, and it's funny, I tie everything together because I try to think 30 moves ahead. Remember, everybody's a victim. You know, people will say, it used to be drug addiction, and I'm sorry, but now it's drug addiction because I was self-medicating. Mm-hmm. Well, the people that a few people that I pushed back against on this, they said, this is how I cope with tragedy. I use humor to cope with tragedy. Okay. And I just want to say I didn't engage, but I just wanted to say, well, go cope with tragedy in a mirror. Don't cope with tragedy by putting this sick stuff on Facebook on my feed, right? But it was horrible.
And I don't want to sound cruel here, but I feel for this situation. I look at it and say, oh, this is horrible. I'm interested to know what's happening. I don't know, maybe I'm just a jerk, but to me it's not traumatic to me, per se, because there's traumatic things happening all around us.
We don't know the people.
All of the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I wasn't wishing the best outcome.
This is dancing on their graves. This is different. It's one thing to say everybody dies, people die every second of the day in the world, but this is dancing on their graves gleefully.
But what I'm getting at here is, if somebody is saying that, hey, this is how I cope, well, cope with what? I mean, it's a horrible, tragic situation.
Oh, right. It didn't
affect them. Yeah, it didn't, but you're just making an excuse for something stupid that you did. I was wishing them the best. I was hoping for the best. Mm-hmm. You're praying for the best. But I think all the time people are like, oh, I'm just so emotionally distraught by this or that. Well, maybe you shouldn't be on social media. Maybe you shouldn't be sucking in news 24/7 if it's that emotionally distressing to you. And again, I'm not trying to sound, I hope I'm not sounding cruel, but I think we've become so connected to everything that's happening that it's, if it's impacting your life and you're like paralyzed at this point because of all the stuff that's happening, bad stuff happens all the time throughout human history. I think maybe if it's causing you to have these such reactions, maybe you need to step back and say, well, this ain't for
like
me.
I need to stop reading about this and articles. And
Does that make sense? Yes. I don't want to sound cruel, but it's just, I think people are,
it's amazing
overconnected at this point.
It's amazing how we got here in thousands of steps, but we're actually at the point now where there's more than one person right now walking on the face of the earth that's saying, I'm a victim of the Titan implosion.
Yeah.
Because for one thing, I'm going to have PTSD over it. And for the second thing, I've become a sociopath because of it.
On social media.
And Bruce unfriended me or whatever. And it's amazing how everybody makes stuff about themselves.
It's a selfishness that's just rampant in society.
Which is why I said sociopathic, right? I mean, we're breeding an entire species of sociopaths at this point.
Rapid pace. Hang on one second. Okay. I want to mention Gettle's High Desert Mechanical before we move on here, because it's hot, steamy.
It's hot. Yeah.
What's it going to be like? 105 in Camp Verde next week?
Yeah.
Maybe 112 or 15 or 19 or what's it going to be in Havasu? 122 coming up. Look, it's a good time to get your heater, well, not your heater, your HVAC, uh-huh. The AC part of your HVAC, checked out. And it's probably even beyond that point because they're probably so busy because you didn't get it checked out. And now Gettles High Desert Mechanical is going to come in and make sure you get back up and running so you're not in your house. to reference a scene from, was it Ace Ventura?
Hot in these rhinos.
Kind of hot in these rhinos. And you all know what I'm talking about with Jim Carrey there. Finally taking off the tighty whities because it was so hot. Oh, bad description there. But if you're to that point in your house and you're just like, whew, throwing it on the wall and it's like, you know,
dripping.
Enough description there. You need to call Gettles High Desert Mechanical and get that thing fixed fast. 928-567-2200. That's Gettles High Desert Mechanical at 928-567-2200. Don't look at me. You're going to make me laugh. 928-567-2200. Gettles High Desert Mechanical. Get that AC going. All right, Bruce, you better go because we're going to crack up.
So what I want to talk about now, I want to address the second part of this phase thing, which is people are using in a mean way the term tourists. So I'm not going to just...
Titanic tourists.
Titanic tourists, okay. Right?
It's like the adventure tourism or something they call it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, extreme. Yeah.
So quite extreme, what I want to say about this is, I mean, technically that's probably a reasonable term, but... I want to suggest that these people are here again. People overuse hero, so I won't use hero either. Tourist is being used mean. Hero would be too far.
Hero is too far because everybody's a hero nowadays, and it diminishes the person running into the burning building to save the baby.
A hero specifically is a person who's in a place of safety that enters a place of danger on behalf of another person. That's my definition of hero.
Yeah, but they opted to do this. They knew it was dangerous, Bruce.
Right? What I want to say though is this. People are just because of the class warfare aspect. Most of the memes about the sub are how hateful and how much should be hated the people on that. And of course, they use the term tourist derisively. But I just want to point out that if it wasn't for rich people, rich adventurous risk takers, and the rich part's important. That's not to be despised. That's what makes it happen. The sub wouldn't exist without it. Well, you wouldn't have cars. Because the first people that did horseless carriages were crazy rich people, right? If it wasn't for the people who bought the very expensive first tickets for the Pan Am Clipper that flew to Hawaii, flew in the Pacific Ocean, those giant seaplanes.
Flying at, 10,000 feet or something, right?
You wouldn't have airlines. All the stuff, you know, people have this tendency to want to just freeze progress where it is and completely ignore how everything came to be. And most of the things that you like were because risk takers took chances, and they were the guinea pigs. So I wouldn't consider the non-essential crew members on a submarine. I wouldn't consider them necessarily researchers. Although some of them do independent research projects, but you know they do have an experiment to do. But I would consider them. Maybe the right word is noble, even if it's accidentally. They're noble guinea pigs because without human lives at stake, you don't make progress.
And you've got to know going into that situation, you would think that, hey, I'm spending, what was it, $250,000 to do this?
Yeah, I think $215,000,
And somebody's got to be explaining at some point, you would think, or you would have the common sense.
Oh, there's a three-page disclaimer. I've seen the disclaimer.
Okay, there's a disclaimer. And quite frankly, if you're popping $250,000 a pop to do this, I guess there's some rich person, some rich kid, you know, they just got inheritance or whatever. But I'm thinking most of these people are probably wealthy, probably self-made, because most wealthy people actually are self-made despite the incorrect assumption that wealthy people get it through inheritance. Studies show that most of them are self-made. Most millionaires are self-made.
And I can run down. These were very respectable people. So first of all,
I'm just saying these are people that knew the risk is what I was getting at.
Of course.
They knew that they're going 2 miles down and there's a risk of an implosion
It's not like when you go to Six Flags and you expect it to be safe. Because you should expect Six Flags to be safe.
Yeah, I'm going to go on a roller coaster and it's not going to come off the track. I mean, it could happen, but the odds are pretty dang low that nobody ever thinks about.
So the people on this probably the one that's going to be least lauded in the future would be the captain, because he was the one that did a fairly low budget sub and ruined what was until now a perfect record of deep sea submersibles. It hasn't been dangerous until now, so he may not go down in history as having been particularly helpful. because he's going to set that world back if it does turn out he cut any corners. He had a disgruntled ex-employee a few years ago that said he did.
Was
did
he the owner corners. Too?
Yes.
The captain was
the owner. Was the captain. Okay. But the other people, there was a very famous French Titanic expert, and I think he had been 38 times down to in deep sea submersibles, not all of the Titanic, but he was almost like a Jacques Cousteau. Mm-hmm. He was on board, there was a famous pilot, but remember, rich people are, it's just like when you go to a museum, a rich person did that for you in many cases. Well, he had reintroduced a certain kind of big cat to a certain area that had gone extinct. He did a huge effort to reintroduce the species in a totally positive, scientifically desirable way. So he had a big altruistic part, and he had also done one of the space, I hate to use the word space tourism, but he did one of the space tourism flights. And he was a pilot. The other person that we lost was an entrepreneur from Pakistan, and again, self-made. I would say the most unfortunate member of the manifest was a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Although still 19 is not 17, and there was a previous undersea tourism thing where somebody wanted to set a record and he took his 13-year-old along. I'm not sure that you can consent to anything when you're 13. Can you really completely assess the risk? Although I was a pilot at 14. I sold a glider at 14. Yeah. So maybe you can. But one of my philosophies is you want to arrange your life to where you get banged up. You do the things that bang you up when you're young and you can heal. Mm-hmm. But you do the things that kill you late in life after you've done all the other stuff.
Yeah, you're in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, you're doing something like that. Okay. Yeah. Or if you're just passionate about it. The 19-year-old, though, you're like probably coming along with the family type trip. And it's unfortunate. Real quick, though, because I want to move on and we got to get to a bunch of other stuff.
We should talk about the insurance aspects and stuff.
Well, yeah. So at this point, you had to send the Coast Guard went out there. So it's mostly U.S. military and stuff that went out and positioned.
I bet how they figured it, they spent $50 million on this. Yeah. And so here's the concern now. The concern now is, offhand, this is going to shut down subsea tourism and which also means subsea developments. Mm-hmm. If it's ever going to be safe, you've got to have these people taking these chances initially. Well, it's also going to affect space tourism in the same way. And remember, there's a lot of good from SpaceX, but that needs to be somewhat offset and by tourism.
They're going to say, "Oh, this is too dangerous. We got to ban it or regulate it now."
So here's
that's
the
what the government's going to do.
This is the problem with, like, for instance, national health care. Argument against national health care is that you can't have French fries anymore because I'm paying for your heart attack.
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen now is that they're going to come after these companies and say, look what you made us do. You made us spend $50 million to try to find you. So do we need a liability release that says, don't come find me. Do not save me. I mean, an even stronger release than we've ever seen before that basically says, do not rescue me. Because
I'm doing this under my own will, and I know the risk, and if something goes wrong, don't send a bunch of ships to save me. However, what will happen anytime these national, in this case worldwide, instances happen where everybody's watching, it blows up like it did, there would be social pressure for somebody to do something. So no matter what waiver you signed, Bruce, at least you would be covered as far as saying, I told you not to come and get me. I told you I didn't want to be, but the government will come because the people demand it.
And on one hand,
in situations like this,
they might have spent $20 or $50 million over the last few days. On the other hand, they would have done a training exercise. This is even better than a training exercise. So you could also make the argument that this costs nothing. The people are already employed. They didn't lose any assets.
The Coast Guard would have been there out.
Yeah.
They didn't lose any assets. So
isn't that what they're there for? Yes. It's an interesting point. All right. I'd love your thoughts on this. I know we spent a lot of time on it, but it's
on everybody's mind.
It's on everybody's mind, and every once in a while you get something that connects with the bulk of society. But then to look at all the offshoots of this with social media and the sick jokes and the politicization, but then also the aspects of, does government come in and say, oh, you've got to stop that, or heavily regulate? I don't mind if you say, hey, the door's got to be able to open. You know, there could be some common sense things like that, but maybe when you're doing a tour, there's a self-responsibility part of this of saying, well, what's your escape plan here? You know, does the door open? I remember that sub-issue, or I remember the astronauts back in the 60s. You know, so there's also an element of personal responsibility here.
Sentence.
All right, quick break. Okay, one sentence.
They were Benjamin Franklin flying a kite in a thunderstorm.
Yeah.
I mean, Think of them that way. Don't think of them as obnoxious rich people. Think of them as just like Benjamin Franklin finding out about electricity.
There's a warning label on the kites now, so just so you know. All right, if your car breaks down, if you're not like Bruce and you don't have a car that plugs in but it still runs on, fuel injection or maybe even a carburetor. Huh. Do we have any of those left? I don't have. I think I'm going to get one. I want the most basic vehicle with no computer and roll up windows because I'm still waiting for my truck. I have a dealership issue that I've been working on and now a back ordered part I'm working on. So that's why I'm going to go more simple. So you got cars like that. You got, old school gas, diesel engines, Crazy Country Boys Services. They can help you out. It's right in Flagstaff. They got 24,000 mile nationwide warranty on the work they do, the parts and labor as well. Give them a call at 928-607-9753. That's Crazy Country Boys Services at 928-607-9753. Back in just a second.
You're listening to the Jeff Horvitz Show.
This is Jeff Horvitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. Next hour, Bruce is sticking around before he has to push his car up to Flagstaff. I want to get into this Atlanta, what's it called?
I can't water say boy. It on the radio. Oh. Isn't that a racist term, water boy?
Well, that's what they're calling. That's what the article is calling. I was giving you a hard time.
I'm not making that up.
I was giving you a hard time.
We're going to get to that, plus a Supreme Court case that's impacting Navajo Nation right here in Arizona. Hang tight. Back in just a few minutes.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show.
Call Diamond Auto Glass first before making an auto glass claim. Here's why. Most insurance companies use a nationwide glass shop to answer their calls, and they're going to try and route you to their shop, which may very well delay the time it takes to replace your glass. When you get a rock chip in your windshield, stop by Diamond Auto Glass as soon as possible. Repairing a chip will stop it from spreading and save you from a costly windshield replacement. If you've replaced your windshield with Diamond Auto Glass, you have a lifetime chip repair warranty and no appointments necessary. Just stop on by on 4th Street in Flagstaff, and most chip repairs take about 10 to 15 minutes. Always call Diamond Auto Glass first at 928-779-4140. That's 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com. Hi, this is Jeff Horvitz, and I started FlagstaffForLease.com several years ago to provide homes and office space in the Flagstaff area. Check out my current listings up at Flagstaff, the number 4Lease.com. That's FlagstaffForLease.com. We've got everything from 1 to 4 bedroom homes available right now. Also, we have office space. Single room suites up to larger spaces are now available up at FlagstaffForLease.com, or call 928-526-7909. FlagstaffForLease.com is an equal housing opportunity. This portion of the show is brought to you by Sportsman's Bar and Grill, voted best sports bar in Flagstaff. Another hour of the show starts now.
This is the Jeff Horvitz Show. Be part of the program by calling 877-971-3971.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Jeff Horvitz here. Bruce Sidlinger's here. Angela's here. They're both eating babka. How's the babka?
Chocolate babka.
It seems you thought of that.
Me and Bruce are like cinnamon.
Yeah, we're
gotta
like
have the chocolate.
The Seinfeld episode. We're getting older though, so there's a lot of people, younger people, that are like, what's that? Hmm. What is Seinfeld? Yeah, there's the whole Bobcat, and they wound up settling on the cinnamon one. So hopefully you all don't hear them chewing their chocolate Bobcat that Olivia made.
This would be a challenge for you as the showrunner to tell either Angela or I that I'm on deck so that we know to finish chewing. We can't freely interact. If I take a big bite of this, we can't freely interact.
Love your comments. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Okay, obviously, we covered the Titan and the sub issue extensively the last hour, so if you missed that, please go to the podcast. Because I think there was a lot more. I can hear your fork, Bruce. The Bobcat fork.
I didn't even need it. I was just getting ready.
We should have waited and said, this is what you get after the show. If all goes well.
Okay, I'll be good. I'll be quiet.
Now you can eat it. Okay, so we got into more of the social aspects and the media aspects and the social media and all that. So I think it's well worth listening back to talkwithjeff.com or look up the Jeff Orbit Show on your favorite podcast provider. I want to hit on some other issues, though, this hour. And I want to start with the Supreme Court ruling. Do you have the factoids on this one?
Yeah.
So I do remember this a few weeks ago or a couple months back that was it the Navajo Nation?
Yes,
that was suing the feds over trying to get a share of the water, the Colorado River water.
Yeah, I think it's really complicated because this goes back into the 1800s, you know, the agreement that they had. And then there's been all these other lawsuits and all these other stuff since then, like every decade's worth of stuff. So I don't know very much about it, but
I think they
want some of the Colorado River water. They want like the lower part and then the little Colorado River water. They want some of that.
Okay.
And they're like, it borders our land and, you know, why don't we get in on this type of thing? And so there was an agreement in 1868 and it says that the federal government assured it would have access to land. The government assured the nation, access to land. And this is according to NBC. It was assumed that the government also had a duty to ensure it had necessary water.
Yeah, well.
But now they're saying that, that doesn't mean that that it's our responsibility that you have access to water.
Well, I mean, you look at, it is very complex, but you could buy a parcel of land, Bruce. You've done a lot of real estate transactions. Doesn't mean you have access to water. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that buying a parcel of land. This is going back to 1800s settlements that happened between Native Americans and the U.S. government. We know how jacked up a lot of that actually became over time. But is there water rights involved and things like that? It does get really complicated.
Well, remember when I started on this show as your token liberal? So as a token liberal, I would say it's a little
Tesla
tough.
Driving.
It's
token
a little
liberal.
Tough to begrudge Native Americans water, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, well, it is. But they do have the little Colorado. I mean, why can't they get a? Is that water?
But then, the other states around it are like, wait a second, we have this like really complicated agreement between all of our states, and we have it already. And if we start, you know, changing that, it's going to change the whole thing. And so, there's states involved. I think Colorado and Arizona, and maybe one other.
What did the Supreme Court say?
That they voted 5-4 to throw this out.
Okay,
so I mean, that means no water right then?
No water right. No. I mean, that's the end of the line, right, Bruce? I mean, you're at the Supreme
Court. And Gorsuch was the one that went with the three liberal judges to be in the minority.
So that's a close decision.
But to answer your question, no, it's not the end of the line. Nothing is the end of the line in America anymore.
No, I guess not. I mean, legislatively, they could try to do something. But it is tough because
now you protest or whatever.
Well, and that's one of the biggest problems that the Navajo Nation has. We all know this, is that they have, 17 million acres or whatever it is, and they're, you know, trying to pipe water in and get water to people. Fresh water is like the biggest issue.
Well, how many homes don't have running water still in Navajo Nation? It's a huge percentage.
Yeah, because it's so vast and digging a well would be nearly impossible in some areas. And if they can't get water from the Colorado, which goes, you know, is the closest river, then
yeah, you've
then
got this,
left
this
with nothing,
big body of water right there. You got Lake Powell there. You've got Little Colorado, which is not as consistent.
Yeah, so some
as
other people
Colorado.
Are like, well, they can go to the San Juan, and they can go to this and that.
But who has the rights on the San Juan?
I would like to just mention yet again that we have Jane Fonda to thank for this, because if it hadn't been for Jane Fonda and that great movie, The China Syndrome, that she was so pretty and such a great actress in, then we would have nuclear power plants and we'd have all the water we wanted.
Yeah.
Because the answer to everything was clean energy.
Is energy.
And the only clean energy that is so abundant that you could electrolyze water or do massive reverse osmosis for water.
Or desal.
You can't do that with the expensive energy that comes from windmills or solar. You have to have massive amounts of energy. And it's amazing, even though she was well-intentioned, she turned out to be the person that destroyed if that. Anybody destroyed the climate, it was Jane Fonda.
Yeah, well, you got more on this, but hang on. Okay, so I was talking about nuclear power the other day because I'm a strong advocate for nuclear power. I think it is one of the safest options out there and one of the most bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we should be expanding that. And movies, things like that happened with Chernobyl, with Three Mile Island. But I started watching that. It's on Netflix. It's a Japanese film or series. It's on Fukushima,
oh, yeah.
Which is the third. That's the third major disaster, right? You call Three Mile Island well, was nothing like
Three
Chernobyl.
Mile Island wasn't a
Fukushima
disaster.
Was huge though, but I've been watching it and I haven't finished it yet. It isn't just so you know, it's on Netflix. I think it's on Netflix. It's on one of them. It is a Japanese film, so there's the overdubbing. So you cannot look at the lips. Don't look at the lips.
It's so weird to watch them talk, and it's not the voice kind of stuff.
But it
the
is.
Same.
I think it's well done to this point, but it does. Nuclear is great until something does go wrong, Bruce. I think that's the fear of people. When it goes wrong, it's huge.
Let me tie this back into the Titanic. I was just saying that we depend on the rich people to blaze the trail for ubiquitous, safe everything. That's why we have cars. That's why we have airplanes. That's why we're going to have inexpensive space travel. Well,
I keep hearing we're going to have inexpensive space travel. I'll believe it when I see it, Bruce, but go ahead.
What happened with nuclear power was because there wasn't a tourism option, right?
Private sector.
The fearful naysayers got their way by saying, we don't like the looks of this Model T, so no more R&D. Mm-hmm. We'll put up with the Model T, but there can't ever be anything beyond this because we don't want this to spread. So Fukushima was an example of all of this is ancient technology that was arrested. We wouldn't have these problems. There are ways to do nuclear power. There was one that you can do them inherently self-limiting. But we just stopped at the very first bit of progress because there was only a very tiny window of approval. Mm-hmm. And then they become and then Jane Fonda did that great movie, and that was
it. Nobody wants
and that
it.
Was the end of approval.
Because that's pretty scary. That's like, hey, radiation, there's no pill for that. We don't have the Star Trek moment here where they immunize you for the radiation sickness or whatever.
Compared to all the other existential crises, that wasn't a very big one.
I know, but again, people glom on, just like any big issue. We have compassion and we feel bad for what happened to the folks on the sub. But when you do look at the grand scheme,
it was horrendous. Not just the nuclear thing, but that whole tidal wave. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And again, if you don't want that stuff to keep happening, we need to keep
innovating.
We need to have better. The engineers need to assert even more control over the planet because we need to build things higher, build things stronger, or whatever, so that we don't see people washed away like ants.
I was shocked in watching that, and it's they built it right in a tsunami zone, earthquake zone, and then it was. I'm being like you guys last time. It was 10 meters above sea level. I don't, you know, so it wasn't very far up. Tsunami came in. It flooded all the backup diesel generators to keep the whole system running. And it was like, how could you not have a system that was resistant to
that? I guarantee there was some kind of, that they were probably having to follow a template from an ancient approval.
Yeah, 1950s.
Because
technology.
They knew that any new design would be opposed.
Yeah.
This is the same with airplanes. Airplanes are very primitive because basically when it quit being feasible to approve new airplanes was almost back when the Cessna 172 was designed. Mm.
Mm. Which is 50s?
Yeah.
Late 50s?
So
something?
You're still seeing, we have, that design is 80 years old. The King Air, another very famous design, is like 70 years old. We're flying 70-year-old designs because it's almost impossible to innovate because it's much easier to oppose innovation than to just make one more of what you've done before.
I want to loop back to, we went on a
little detour.
Little detour there.
Why don't you detour through Atlanta on your way
back? I'm not there yet because that has to do with water too, but a whole different social aspect there. But I do feel for the situation we got up on Navajo Nation, Hopi Nation, with the water issue. And something that one of you guys said, well, there's, I think it was you, Angela, we've got agreements, states have agreements. Mm-hmm. We just did this 10% cut agreement with the carrot of the carrot and the stick of the federal government giving billions of dollars or something. If the lower states, was it Nevada and Arizona and California, did some cuts. So, okay, if we mess with this agreement, then it messes up all those other agreements. But then, if it was, that can't be the reason why, because if you have to adjust other agreements because something was wrong in the past, that can't be the reason not to do
it. Well, that's not the reason the case got thrown out. That's just what the states were arguing. Yeah. But I think that ultimately it was just, they decided that, hey, just because we agreed to give you the land doesn't mean that it's our problem to figure out your water situation. And I mean, maybe I'm...
But then
reading that wrong,
okay,
I
but
don't
then
know very much about
but then,
it.
But then I'm starting to feel the Gorsuch route on this almost. I have to look into it a lot more. But I look at being someone who lives in northern Arizona, and I got a creek running through the backyard here, right? That water, that surface water, SRP is like on that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why? Because you had some agreement back in the mid-1800s or you were there, mm-hmm. and all that water flows down to go down and feed Phoenix and areas like that. And so you do start to feel like, wait a second, this water is running through here, or it's right in my backyard.
It's like literally
or in
yard.
Flagstaff, you've got the all the high country, you've got the snowpack, which then melts, and then, you know, again, SRP and other companies are like, hey, that's our water. And you're like, wait a second here.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I know there's laws in place and there's previous agreements, but then sometimes you think, well, wait a second, the water's right here. So, and then you're looking at the Navajo Nation and you're thinking to yourself, what percentage don't have any water and they can't get any water? And all the time we say, oh, let's figure out a way to build
like
our infrastructure.
These people need
and,
running water. Yeah, let's figure something
Bruce,
out.
What do you think?
Well, the best way to settle these things is not judicial or administrative, it's legislative.
Okay.
And if I was the Navajo Nation, I would be dialing up the top PR firm on Madison Avenue, and I'd say, hey, quick, do a commercial of rich white males playing golf in Scottsdale with sprinklers going everywhere.
And I turn on my tap and it's
psh, and then a Hogan with no faucet.
Water.
That's how this gets solved. For better or worse, this will be solved in the political
sphere. Well, it just
seems
like there could be we distinguish between water for commercial activity, water for farming, versus
it's
just
hard to justify water for almonds,
basic,
even though it's food. It's
ridiculously
inefficient.
But the basic concern of being able to turn on your tap, and what's the population of Navajo Nation? Look that up. I mean, it can't be 100,000 people in Arizona. I don't even know, but I'm speculating that if it's like any of the community, what Coconino County is 160,000 people, and 100 of them live in Flagstaff. How many people can live up in Navajo Nation? You'll find it.
Yeah. And meanwhile, someday we'll have to revisit
104?
143,000.
For Navajo Nation. But that's going into New Mexico and things like that, too.
Yeah, and parts of Utah.
Is there a way to... This is what's frustrating. Okay, I'm going on another detour here. This is what's frustrated me with politicians. Because you've got these politicians who can't fix basic stuff. And they always say, well, we're going to fix it. I've looked at the Democrats-controlled CD1, now it's CD2, which runs through... look at the road that goes up to Tuba City and that goes up to Page.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's awful. It's got the loop-de-loos. It's going all over the place. It's not divided for huge chunks of it. There's been so many deaths on that road, sadly.
Including someone in my family.
Yeah, yeah. Including someone in the family. And it's like you can't fix that basic stuff. But as we were talking with Congressman Eli Crane just yesterday, we've got 100+ billion dollars that goes to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. I mean, quite frankly, it just pisses me off. So now I'm starting to think, wait a second, you got $100 billion for Ukraine and you've got however many tens of thousands of people that don't have water?
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, separate from the Supreme Court case, it's just a bunch of BS.
There's a point, and again, I'm being the liberal today, but there's a point,
I don't know
where
what
you,
I'm being
there's
today.
A point where you can't enjoy your golf course if you can literally imagine a baby not being able to get water in America, but that shouldn't be solved in a soft-hearted way. That should be solved in a hard-nosed, efficient, engineering, managerial way.
Bruce, I'm saying that they can get the water for their golf course down there, and they can get their water for to come out of their tap on the Navajo Nation. I'm not saying that it's an either or. I'm saying really you can't fix this problem. The politicians can't fix these problems.
Do you remember the city of Flagstaff? I had a fight with them because I didn't want to maintain these aspen trees they mandated on my land. And at one point I figured out that it was going to be something like 100 to 150,000 gallons of potable water they wanted me to flow to those aspen trees. Well, that would have been a gallon jug of water for every Navajo. Mm-hmm. Just my stupid aspen tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And let me tell you about planting trees in Arizona, northern Arizona. Every time I do it, they die. No matter if I put water on them, whatever I do. You know, the best trees that I've had live is they just spontaneously grow on their own, and they start coming up. I'm like, whoops, that's the tree.
That's
you know?
The same with our grass.
All the time. Yeah,
grass
the grass
in the driveway grows with no care, no seeds, no water, no raking. Yeah, you try and grow it in your yard, it won't grow.
Bruce, you're down here in Camp Verde today. Yeah. We have this lawn out here. We have fields that are kind of brown right now. But if you're looking, you see that green spot right over there?
Yeah, how many hundreds of thousands of gallons of water are you flowing over
nothing.
There?
That nothing. That grass is growing all on its own. It stays green year-round. I didn't have to do nothing. So the government would probably come in and say, hey, Jeff,
that's
the wrong species. Hey, let's rip it out. It's like, yeah, it's growing, you ding-dong.
Hey, for your listeners that want to get mad, just go to Arizona Daily Sun Archives and Google Flagstaff red tape too much for local entrepreneur. And that's the front page Sunday edition story of me and the fight about the water that the city wanted me to put on aspen trees. That
plant some tree in the largest ponderosa pine forest in the world. Right. You don't need any more trees.
Yeah.
It's just they do the dumbest thing. Here's my point on the back to the Supreme Court case, which they voted to dismiss this case, is I don't know the ins and outs of that case. I have no idea on the water.
I really don't.
But it does kind of start to infuriate me as I sit here, and I didn't really prep for that issue, to think that, again, going back to my interview yesterday with Congressman Eli Crane, $100-plus billion to Ukraine, bridges falling apart in this country, people that don't have water. I bet you that they have water. They're shipping over bottles of water over to Ukraine. And it's like, we can't make things work here. Do we really think we're going to make things work anywhere else in the world? It's just it aggravates me, and I think it aggravates a lot of people out there as well. All right, take a breath. WT Wealth Management and Glenn Least, and he's going to be on the program next Friday, I believe. It's been a little while. We've got our schedules lined up, and I'm looking forward to getting a market update from Glenn Least. If you want to get a market update from him and have a one-on-one conversation, second set of eyes on your portfolio, why don't you call him for a free, no obligation consultation. Glenn will sit down, just like he sits down with me, and for full disclosure, I do some stuff with him. I have some funds over there at WT Wealth Management that Glenn Least works on. So I'll give you his number here, and you give him a call, mention that you heard about it right here on the show. I'd really appreciate that. Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. That's Glenn Least at WT Wealth Management, 928-225-2474. Back in a minute.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.
Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Malls, is a place that I've been going to for a long time. And Rob and Elise Wilson, the owners out there, they come on this program to talk about the Second Amendment, to talk about firearms and much more. Now, this is a great facility just north of Flagstaff with an indoor shooting range. What I also like about them is they have a lot of courses. That's not just for expert level, but they have that as well. But they've got their intermediate handgun training. They've got courses for new gun owners. And I know there's a lot of new gun owners out there, their first shots program. Why don't you go to their website right now and check out the training opportunities coming up. Sign up for one of these courses at timberlinefirearms.us, or you can call them up right now, see what training availability is out there at 928-526-7900. That's 928-526-7900. Timberline Firearms and Training, 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall. Enjoy their great indoor shooting range. Check out their Liberty Safes, their firearms, their ammunition, all their accessories. Plus, hey, ladies, don't forget, $11 gets your range time on Thursdays, and that includes a gun rental. You just got to buy the range ammunition. Stop on by Timberline Firearms and Training, just 5 minutes north of the Flagstaff Mall.
Listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
Welcome back. Love to hear from you. Talk with Jeff at iCloud.com. Greg writes, Seems like we are becoming California and giving ourselves their problems. California's reservoir system was designed to support about a quarter of the current population in that state. The obvious solution is to allow further development of housing, is to build additional reservoirs. But the liberals tie their hands by imposing environmental laws that make this type of public works project virtually impossible. But you cannot have developing cities without infrastructure to support them. With the amount of water going from Lake Mead to Nevada and California, we're already seeing lakes being drained. So I guess my question would be, when are these fools going to wake up and realize that you actually have to build things to have things and make stuff run right? This very much reminds me of the current green electricity push. It does not provide enough electricity. These idiotic feel-good policies that ultimately make everyone miserable should be boycotted before our quality of life dramatically decreases. Greg, thank you for that talk with Jeff at
iPod.com. I know when.
He said, buddy, when? He sounds like a buddy of yours here.
Right. He said when?
Yeah, when.
The when is when the water stops coming out of the tap. That's the only time it becomes real.
Yeah.
Right? Or when the lights don't go on in your house.
Yeah, lights don't go
on. This is like these policies that where they'll rearrange neighborhoods, and it's okay until you can literally see it out your window, and then all at once it's not okay. All at once you go full NIMBY.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Or as I was talking about, again, referencing back to my interview with Congressman Eli Crane yesterday, I care about the national debt. I care about the expenditures, about the craziness that's going on. He does. He voted against the debt ceiling, not raising, but the temporary, the getting rid of it for the next couple of years. Most Americans don't care. When will they care? Yeah, when the ATM spits out, you know, $10,000 to go buy a couple loaves of bread, or something.
You need the shopping
when
cart.
It's not going to affect people. Everybody's too comfortable. Life is really, really good if you think about it. We complain about the things and worry about the things that are possibly coming. But people in America and the West, they're pretty comfortable, yeah, despite all the problems we
nobody
have.
Nobody thinks moves ahead, and,
exactly.
Nobody anticipates
all right. The future. You get a rock chip in your windshield. Remember to always call Diamond Auto Glass first. Nobody thinks about this until a rock hits your windshield.
And then you wish you'd written down the number to Diamond Auto. Yeah.
But if you forget to write down the number, remember, I've got it up on talkwithjeff.com, and everybody knows that website by now. So you just go up there, and you'll see under sponsors and giveaways. Diamond Auto Glass will get that fixed as soon as possible. It's super quick, usually 10 to 15 minutes. That's pretty quick, especially if you've had windshield replacement in the past with them. It's included, and it is free, included in that previous windshield. If not, call them, and they'll get you scheduled to get that rock chip fixed before it spreads. 928-779-4140. That's Diamond Auto Glass at 928-779-4140, or go to thedifferenceisclear.com.
This is the Jeff Horowitz Show.
You're listening to the Jeff Horowitz Show.
Welcome back. Bruce Sidlinger's here with us. Angela's here as well. When I said earlier, I went by your comment of the news article out of Atlanta. This is like a TV yes. station, water, what's it called?
Well, I mean, it's not just a TV station. It's this thing in Atlanta.
Okay.
I was giving you a hard time about being racist because, of course, we are all by definition racist. But
I just never know anymore what the words are people are going to flip out about. I don't really
care. Which are allowed and which aren't.
This is an official government program of the city of Atlanta. And the official government name for the program is Atlanta's Water Boys.
Okay.
And the reason I'd say it's racist is the program is exclusively limited to young black males. So you're calling young black males boys. I guess if they're young enough, it's okay. But I feel uncomfortable.
It's sexist. Yeah.
Okay, that too.
Yeah. It's like the restaurant.
It's Water Boys.
I'm just kidding.
The other official name is, and they made a documentary about it called Water Boys in the Hood. But let me take off my liberal hat and put on my realistic hat for a second and say, that
he's
the second I heard of this, I thought, you know what? The problem with this is when there are things that you can't discuss in polite company because of political opprobrium that you're concerned about, then these things happen. And so the original genesis of the program was the city actively supported the idea that at major intersections in Atlanta, groups of young black men would approach cars and sell them bottles of water for $5. And that was an official city program. Now, since then, it's sprawled. There's been a city commission to support it. They're thinking about establishing a taxpayer funds a city bottling plant so that it's actually there are other job, more job creation to create the bottles of water. But all you have to do is look at, well, first of all, you don't have to look at the video. You just have to think about human nature for a second. But as soon as you look at a video, if you just Google anything about Atlanta Water Boys, you'll see that it's essentially, if it was the mob, you'd call it a protection racket. It'd be like, hey, nice car you got there. Nice family you got in the car. Because they
buy some water.
Right. Because they literally mob the cars at the intersections. And here's how bad it's gotten. There was a incident. This is a couple years old. There was an incident last year where somebody refused to buy water, and then they shot at him. They didn't hit him. But there are other shooting incidents related to the Water Boys. And then the most recent episode, what made me think of it, because I think this was yesterday, is there's like a famous black female social media star, TikToker, who is very supportive of this program. So she pulls up, some Atlanta Water Boys come over to accost her through her window, and she rolls down her window because, you know, I mean, she wanted to, but I mean, the message to anybody is you'd better. So she rolls down her window and she says, I can't buy any water from you today because I don't have $5. And they said, well, do you have Cash App? Do you have like Venmo or Zelle? And so she gets out her, she says, okay, hang on. Meanwhile, there's traffic waiting behind you, right? But so you're snarling traffic, but she gets logged into Zelle, and then they reach in and take it from her and Venmo themselves, Zelle themselves, $200. And so anyway, the point is that this was clearly going to be ripe for and rife with abuse.
So let me just, because I watched the video, and what they're doing is these younger guys are out there selling water at intersections in the middle of the street, just walking out there. And a lot of the videos have, well, what do you say, 15, 16, 17-year-old, all male, coming out.
Yeah, with four or five to a car.
Yeah, four to five people surrounding a car by the water. So that I could imagine, you know, Angela's out there, or anybody's out there,
component.
And you're like, whoa, okay, yeah. If you've ever been to, you mentioned like New York City back in the day.
Oh, yeah, the reason I didn't buy my brownstone. So
okay, they used to do the window wash.
I lived in New York City, and I was in due diligence to buy a one block off Park Avenue brownstone. It was going to be a huge project. I would have dumped tens of millions of dollars into New York City. And I canceled the project based on a recurring incident, which is like three separate times, all in the space of this due diligence. A homeless person came up to me when I was stopped at an intersection, sprayed what I thought was water initially on my windshield, and then wanted money for cleaning my windshield. And then later I come to find out there's no water availability. So then they said, no, that's urine. Don't you realize that's urine? So
he's peeing in a bottle.
Peeing in a bottle and then spraying out on things.
Bruce, you're so behind the times. That's green. That's a green policy there. It's like recycling, man.
Anyway, so my point about how destructive this is, it's not just that it makes white people scared or anybody scared, women scared, whatever, anybody that feels disadvantaged relative to four young males at your window.
No, I'm taking the whole racial equation out of this. Whether it was if it's black, white,
at minimum, it's annoying.
But 4, 5, 6 males, any race, 15, 16, 17, 18, that's fine. But just in general, right. Just speaking about when you get a group of young males together, that is the age, especially when you're in your teens and stuff, that you're like, there's a lot going on, man. And like I said, it is just, I've heard other people say the most dangerous thing in the world is a 18 to like, you know, 25-year-old male.
A young man with time in his hands.
Exactly, on their hands. And so I'm just saying it doesn't take race out of the equation altogether here. If four or five males of that age gather around a car and there's a woman in there, again, I don't care what her race is or anything like that, her age, or it could be a guy. You're on your own. I'm there, and there's five guys surrounding my car. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. No, back away from the car, dude.
Nobody can say it out loud, but what makes this work is intimidation. Nobody can say it out loud in Atlanta, because what makes this work clearly is intimidation, because they're saying this is a valuable service. Well, if you needed a bottle of water, you probably could have put a bottle of water in your car for less than $5.
Probably got one. I'm told all the time I can't buy a plastic bottle anymore. I got to get the refillable ones, which we have, and I fill it at the water station for a certain amount, or I just use my tap, and it's like pennies. So people have that.
I didn't even want to pay $1 for one of those water bottles.
I get mad when it's like five. Yeah. You're at a ball game or something, and it's like $5 for this, and you're like, what a ripoff. $3. You're living back in 3 years ago, babe.
I do have to add something before I lose half my friends, right? Because this is, I hate to get into these areas that are going to offend a lot of people. I feel like I have credibility in this area because I am.
Okay.
I was concerned enough about youth disadvantaged by circumstances of birth that I became a public school teacher rather than doing the easy thing and going to BASIS or NPA. I became a public school teacher to teach Native Americans, Hispanics, and all comers without entrance criteria. I didn't require any math credential or anything. I said, whatever you're missing, I will work nights and weekends and bring you up, and we'll do this aerospace engineering thing. And we did. And for example, every one of those kids without exception got a federal amateur radio license and so forth. And so there is something you should do for youth that are disadvantaged by circumstances of birth. And it's something like what I did. It's not to have a program that is basically leverages thuggery, right? So I don't think, even though I would be categorically considered a racist by most people, like all white people, and especially like people on right wing talk radio, I think that they're hurting the kids. I think they're getting maneuvering them even closer to a life of crime, or certainly no further away from a life of crime. And what those kids need is math. They need,
not to figure out how to go in a big group and swarm a car. Right. Water. Yeah.
Yeah. How does that scale? And that's just, okay.
In fairness, those are the videos I saw from you. Is there one?
I've looked at 100 of those videos. Okay. They're all that way.
Here's the bigger problem I got with this is I'm told that I can't go out in front of a building we own in Flagstaff, the city sidewalk. I couldn't go out there and set up shop.
Oh, right, yeah, on that city sidewalk. A hot dog cart.
I couldn't do that. Now I have to pay for that sidewalk, by the way, and fix that sidewalk according to the city of Flagstaff. But I'm sure this is happening all over the country. I can't go and run. I get frustrated when I see the same people on the street corner pushing things out there or panhandling incessantly and sometimes aggressively. I'm like, I couldn't go set a business up there, and I'm a taxpayer, but you can sit there and it's basically you're there every day. That is the corner that people use, and you know them all. You see them all the time. I get frustrated because they're bending the rules here for people for political reasons. And if I tried to go out and sell something, like I said, or Olivia opened up a lemonade stand, you'd be smacked down. So do we have equal application of the law, or do we not?
So your take is different than mine because my take is that we're so far down the road of redistribution that I don't really have a problem with saying, if you're a little kid from the hood, we're going to waive the lemonade stand licensing requirement for you, because that's just one more relatively minor redistribution. We're doing much bigger ones. So my issue is,
I'm saying everybody should be able to open up the lemonade stand, though, Bruce.
Yes, I understand. That's the pure position.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying that if I want to be as left as possible and still criticize the Water Boys program, I'm criticizing on the basis that it's organized thuggery.
Okay,
that's all right. The problem.
If you let me switch gears here. Think about selling a home.
Jeff's all hot now.
I'm kind of hot, too.
Can I have some of my stuff now?
Yeah. You want me to mute you while I do talk about Kelly Broaddus? So he wants to eat his babka. Should we let him?
Yeah.
Get some sugar going in there. I think we've had enough sugar, though. Anyway, if I was selling a home in the Flagstaff area right now, I'd call Kelly Broaddus with the Broaddus Properties Group, brokered by eXp. Your home's likely your largest asset out there. Don't trust just any agent to sell it for you. Kelly Broaddus has extensive experience and knowledge of the market right in Flagstaff and surrounding areas. And thanks to Kelly's proven marketing system, she's constantly helping homeowners sell for thousands over asking price. I've shared with you stories of folks that have sold their home through Kelly Broaddus, and they're getting above asking price. They're also getting it done in a very quick manner, sometimes the same day. Results are different. Sometimes you never know what's going to happen in real estate, but she does an excellent job. She knows this market, and she's been doing this for a very long time. Go to northernarizonafinehomes.com. You can get your home's valuation in about 60 seconds, by the way. And if you want to talk with Kelly Broaddus, give her a call at 888-446-5602. That's 888-446-5602. All right, I want to move on.
I got one sentence.
I got one more thing on this, too.
Okay.
I just want equal application of the law. If we're going to be a nation of laws, we are a nation of laws. We don't make special rules and special carve-outs for different groups for political reasons. That's what this country is becoming. That's banana
you're
republic.
You're absolutely right, although I gave up on that a long time ago.
I know. I'm kind of there, too.
But my point would be, just the general thing I would say to politicians, is you are not doing poor people a favor by making the areas that they inhabit appear unlivable to the rich people, because the rich people are where the money is, and that money is needed.
Capital is needed. This is how this country got going. People from Europe sunk their capital into this country.
There's at least one rich person that won't move to Atlanta now because they don't want the water boys when they stop at an intersection.
There's people fleeing California. There's people fleeing Seattle. I mean, you need that capital. And look at the absence of capital and people with knowledge to run things. I don't think we're ever going to get to the Atlas Shrugged, Amman Strike world.
And what people would say is they'd say, oh, well, you poor rich white person, you're made to feel uncomfortable. Well, you can trivialize that, but if you're uncomfortable, you're not going to move there, and then you're not going to pay taxes, and they need those revenues.
Yeah. Okay. Speaking of paying, so here's one in Arizona. You ever see those paid petition gatherers? You all see
yes.
them, right?
At the grocery store?
They're out there, and you're like, yeah, these people are so passionate. They're
out here. I live in the county, so I'm not allowed to sign.
Well, even in the county, you know, it could be a county initiative, could be a statewide initiative. These people are everywhere during election time. It's really blossomed the industry in the past couple of years. A lot of times you see them, you think, this is really a dedicated person. They're out here.
No, they get paid.
I know. Yeah. But I'm just saying, most people, a lot of people think, hey, they're out there. They're just passionate about this. Oh, they're legalize this or make this illegal or whatever the case
is. Not all of them, though. Some of them do volunteer.
But a lot of them are paid petition gatherers. Well, there was a law that was put into place back in 2017 that you couldn't get like paid per signature. Mm-hmm. Like go out there and like be like a signature.
You have to get paid per hour or something.
Yeah. So Bruce goes out there and, you know, he's hustling. He's just get signatures. And you get more money, obviously.
And it's a lot. Was like $10 or $25 a signature was the going rate?
It depends on the issue. Sometimes they were getting a lot of money.
In those hotly contested states, like the Georgia race a couple of years ago that changed the whole world.
Yeah.
Remember that race?
Yeah.
I think they ultimately were paying $10,000 a vote or something.
It was probably an ad cost and all that.
Yeah. I mean, there were billions flowing into that state, and there were very few votes being shifted.
Okay.
So $10,000 to shift one vote.
This particular one here in Arizona, the legislature said you cannot be paid for to get the signature per signature. You're paying per hour. Mm-hmm. So you get $20 an hour, you go get signatures. But there was a court challenge and went up to the Arizona Supreme Court that ruled that paying for petition gatherers per signatures is illegal. So it did uphold that law. But they're actually looking at this, though, as a huge win for petition gathering companies and efforts because you are allowed to pay bonuses and things like that. So when do you collect signatures? Well, you go to certain places in the evening when people are hitting it, or, you know, the right times, mm-hmm. lunch hour. So they are offering, hey, you're going to work at night. You're going to work on this busy night at this place, which means you're going to get, there's more people there. There's more bodies there. Mm-hmm. It's not, you're just sending somebody out in front of the post office and from, you know, 2 to 3, nobody shows up. They do say that you can go out. There's some other issues in this ruling too, but basically that bonuses are acceptable. So if you think that these paid petition signature folks aren't going to be out there, no, they're, mm-hmm. they're going to be out there in force going forward. So Supreme Court, and that was a statewide one, but
I solved all this years ago with my naked politician proposal. Remember that my proposal was, if you want to run for office, you show up at a place.
Back to the rhino here.
You take off your clothes. You go into a room, and in that room, you have to take off clothes to make sure you're not carrying anything. You go into that room, and you've got a pen and a piece of paper, and you write an essay, and those essays get published in the paper without your race, name, gender, anything.
Yeah.
And you elect the essay.
Pick the best one.
And the whole thing takes 2 weeks and costs $0. It costs a bunch of yellow pads and some pens.
I like my idea of elections at tax-paying day, and everybody should pay taxes, even if it's a token $10 amount. Mm-hmm. You pay your taxes, then you vote. And you wouldn't vote for most of these people because most of them are liars.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, I've also always just been opposed to the idea of withholding taxes in advance. You should have to come up with that money.
Yeah, come up with that money. Yeah, and that's...
You should have to go sell your boat on April 14th.
Yeah, that's changed the dynamic of this country a lot because most people, they don't pay the tax directly.
They get it. The government is giving them the refund.
Yeah,
that's how inverted it is.
Yeah, it's got, and in some case, a lot of cases, it's they're not only getting back what they put in, they're getting more.
Yeah.
In some cases, they didn't even put anything in, and they're getting money back.
Can you imagine on April 15th that the government comes around and says, "Where's all of it?" And you don't have it, and they say, "Well, okay, then we're taking your boat."
They
just come with a tow truck and they take your boat or your car.
Were we watching The Chosen? And they're the tax collector, obviously. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's showing up to pay their taxes, but they didn't show up with, I guess some people would show up with gold or silver and this or that, but they'd show up with fish.
Yeah, a barrel of fish, a basket.
Wheat.
Yeah.
Something personal.
Something, yeah. So it's like, where's the skin in the game in America now for a lot of people? There's no skin. So you can't change nothing if there's no skin in the game, because like, it's just somebody else's money. No, I don't
you
care.
Could show up yeah. with everything. You could show up with mint, eggs, corn. Because this is a cornucopia.
I don't know about the corn. I don't know about the corn yet. Yeah,
this is a cornucopia.
Hey, if you're thinking about refinancing your home, call Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans. She helped Angela and I out with an investment property last year, but she doesn't just do investment property. She does, if you're a first-time buyer out there, if you've got an off-grid property, if you're buying a second home, or just refinancing your home, doing cash out, or new purchases, Kim Dawson at Nova Home Loans should be able to help you out. By the way, mention the Jeff Orbit Show, and you get $250 off the lender's fee at closing. Call Kim Dawson at 928-310-6458. That's 928-310-6458. Or go online, novahomeloans.com/Kim Dawson. Kim Dawson, NMLS 697411. Nova Home Loans, NMLS 3087. BK number 090242. Equal housing opportunity. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply.
You're listening to the Jeff Orbit Show.
This is Jeff Orbitz, and if you listen to my show, you know that I recently had the blinds replaced in my house. And when we decided to get this done, obviously we called my friends at the Blind Brothers, and we weren't going to deal with anybody else because this is a great Northern Arizona company. They don't use subcontractors, so you know who you're dealing with. Now, the Blind Brothers came in. They laid out all the options for us. We picked out, my wife Angela and I, a great set of blinds. They gave us a great price. We opted to have them do the installation, which they can do for up to half off the price, as well as any other advertised specials. It's a great deal. They came in, they took out all the old blinds, got rid of them, hung the new blinds. They work perfect. We are very, very happy. I want you to do your neighbors a favor. Call the Blind Brothers for a free estimate at 928-634-2423. I know you're going to be happy. That's 928-634-2423. Or go online. They have great monthly specials at theblindbrothers.com. I hope you make it home, Bruce.
Yep.
I got you some babka, or somebody did. I didn't. Angela got it. Olivia made it. Hope yep. you have enough electricity.
I know. Hey, Patty. My final message to your listening public is you should say a little prayer and have thoughts for the ocean explorers and the migrant boat people. And I would everybody. Say I feel bad for anybody that dies if they weren't themselves violent.
All right. I hope you all have a great safe night. Thoughts. Take care. See you tomorrow.
This is the Jeff Orbit Show.